All right, good morning. Hope you guys are well. Let's open this morning to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Verse 1 through 11. Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake. But the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered and said, "Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. But I will do as you say and let down the nets." When they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them, and they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear. From now on you will be catching men." When they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Let's pray this morning. Father, we just thank you for a brand new day where your mercies are new. We thank you for your grace. And now give us understanding of your word today. God, help us to be what you've called us to be. And Lord, we ask you to help us to live in obedience to your word. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. In this passage, you will see a lot of movements. Movement from here to there. Movement from changes from here to there. The first thing that you'll notice is that Jesus was by the Lake of Gennesaret or the Sea of Galilee. And so he was teaching the crowd, there's huge crowds of people. But then he notices a boat, two boats out on the shore, and he chooses one, and one of them happened to be Simon, which is Simon Peter. And he begins to go in the boat, and he asks Simon Peter to come back and to put the boat further away from the sea, and so that he could talk to the crowds. And this idea of going further away, what you'll notice is that as he's teaching the crowds, the shoreline and just it causes a natural amphitheater where he can be further away and people can see him, but the sound carries up along the shore. And so, but the first thing I want you to notice is this small detail of some insight of who Jesus is. He is with the crowd, but then he takes time and he notices the one. He leaves the crowd to go to the one, and he goes to Peter's boat. And it just gives us a little insight in the heart of God, that he's a personal God, that he wants to be a part of your personal life, that he's willing to leave everything and leave everyone. He's willing to leave the huge amount of people and to focus on the one. And in the story, you'll find out that the perspective is focusing on Peter, and Jesus wants to do something in Peter. And so he finishes speaking to the crowd in verse 4, and then he tells Simon to go out to the water and let down the nets for a catch. And you've got to understand, at this point, Simon and his companions, they'd been fishing all night, hadn't caught anything. And in verse 2, they're told washing their nets, meaning they're finished with their fishing time. And here Jesus is asking Peter to go back out. Now, they hadn't slept. They're tired all day. And Jesus is asking him to go do it again. And then he said, Peter's response is very, very important. He says, "You know what? He makes an excuse. He's like, "You know what? We've done this all night and we've caught nothing. But I will do as you say and let down the nets." In some translations, it says, "Because you said so." And I like that. It's this idea of, you know what, I may not have any faith. I may be tired. I may not have any belief. I may have no confidence. But because you said so. And I think that's a great lesson for us to learn. that in our walk with God, we may have lots of doubts. We may have unbelief. We may not see how it's possible. But because, God, you said so, I'm just going to do it. Even though I'm tired, even though I'm fatigued, even though I've done it 100 times before, even though I failed every single time, even though I'm so discouraged, but because you said so, because you said the word, I'm going to lay down the nets. And so we know what happened because of his obedience to God's word. There's this enclosed a great quantity of fish, so many fish that their nets began to break. And you've got to understand that these nets were long and huge, and they were vast nets. They weren't like like little aquarium nets that you hold with a little circular thing that you try to pick out goldfish. They're not like little goldfish. These are massive nets that you just throw out onto the water. And to see the scene of just nets so big that it broke these nets, I mean, that's a large quantity of fish to break the nets. And we see in the details later that Peter is asking, you know, his companions to come help, and the nets began to break. And I want to pause right here, and I want you to think of what kind of God we serve and what kind of God we have. As I'm reading this story, I'm reminded of the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. I'm reminded of the result of that story, that there are people hungry, starving, waiting for God's provision. And so Jesus decides that out of a small amount of bread and with small amount of fish, that he decides to feed 5,000, and the end result is this, that there were 12 baskets left over. In other words, there was an abundance out of his provision. There was more than enough. There was an overflow. You know, see, because don't you think that Simon Peter would have been amazed and satisfied if Jesus had caught maybe 50 fish or 100 fish or maybe even 250 fish? I think if Jesus did that, that Peter would have been just amazed. Like, wow, you know, we were here all night and we didn't catch anything, and because Jesus said so, man, we've got 100 fish today. That's amazing. That's so much. Jesus knew where the fish were. But instead, he does just an overabundance. And that's one thing we've got to realize about our God, is that he likes to provide an overabundance. There's numerous examples. And in fact, Ephesians 3:20, it says, "Now unto him who is able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ever imagine or ask, according to the power that is in work within us." Unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly. The Apostle Paul uses this word. It's a double compound word in the Greek. You know, in fact, he does this to demonstrate his point of how big and awesome our God is. He actually makes up his own word phrase. And so he uses this double compound word, exceedingly abundantly, to prove the point that it's like him saying that God is super beyondful, incredible, outrageously able to do these things. It's beyond words. That's what Paul is trying to say, that our God is able to do things that are beyond words. And so he uses a double compound word. And so in essence, what God is saying, what Paul is saying, that God is incredibly incredible, extravagantly extravagant, awesomely awesome in his awesomeness. He's outrageously outrageous. He's fantastically fantastical, amazingly amazing. And he's infinitely infinite of all time. That's the description that Paul is trying to say. And as we see this example of Jesus in action, this is the kind of God we serve. And so we serve a God that is exceeding the expectation of Simon Peter. And in our own lives, we can understand that the Lord not only forgives sin, but he forgives all your sin. That God not only loves you when you're good, God loves you when you're bad. That God not only gives you hope of heaven today, but he's preparing heaven for all eternity for you. And if you look at his creation, and if you look at what God and how he operates, God just didn't make a single drop of water. He made the oceans of water. He didn't just create one star, but he made galaxies of star. He didn't make one single kind of bird, but he created thousands of different kinds of bird. He didn't make just a small hill, but he's made mountaintops and the Rocky Mountains. God didn't just make the sun to just sit there and stand still, but God made sunrises and sunsets. God is a God who exceeds all expectations, and when he gives in all abundance, far more abundantly, exceedingly, beyond all we can ever imagine or ask. He exceeds expectations with incredible excellence because he is God. And so this is the kind of God that Simon Peter is encountering as he's struggled all night, as he's discouraged, as he's failed. He encounters Jesus. He encounters Jesus. And when he encounters Jesus in verse 8, there's a movement in Peter's heart. There's something that changes. You'll notice in verse 5, he starts off with calling Jesus Master, which is a sort of a formal term for rabbi or teacher. And then after he experiences the abundance of God, he moves into verse 8, from Master to Lord. Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. At that moment, there's a transformation that happens in Peter's heart. At that moment, there's a change in his heart. In that moment, there's a realization that this man standing in front of me is someone special. And he says, just like Isaiah, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. He encounters Jesus and he realizes that he's full of sin, his sinfulness. We serve a God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ever imagine. Someone wrote in a poem, there are no limits to his love. There's no boundaries to his blessings. There are no fences to his faithfulness. There are no guardrails against his grace. There's no containers that can hold his compassion. And there's no restrictions to experiencing his righteousness. This is the kind of Jesus we serve. And if God is able to do all that, just imagine what he can do with your life. If he can take 5 loaves and 2 fish, and if he can feed the thousands, just imagine what God can do with what our perceived tiny and small, insignificant life. Imagine what God is able to do with that. Imagine what he can do with your heart. Imagine what he can do with your hands. Imagine what he can do with your talents. Imagine what he can do with your gifts. And if you take it to another level, imagine what he can do with your family. Imagine what he can do with your friends, with you at your workplaces. Imagine what he can do with your future, with your potential, with your love. He can also take your challenges and imagine what he can do with those things. Imagine what he can do with your weaknesses and with your problems. Imagine what he can do with your frustrations and disappointments. As I was talking to somebody and who was really discouraged yesterday, I wish I had 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in my heart. I wish, you know, it came to my mind as I was talking with him. But this verse in 1 Corinthians 2:9 says this, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. That we can't comprehend, even fathom, or conceive what God has prepared for us. And so I began to tell him, I know you're discouraged and you want to give up, but you don't know what God has at the end of this stage of your life, at the end of this season. You don't want to give up before you receive what God has prepared. Because no eye has seen. Too many of us, we want a breakthrough in our lives, and we pray and we get discouraged. But sometimes if you want that breakthrough, you've got to go through the break. If you want a breakthrough, you've got to go through the break. Go through the brokenness. Go through the pain. Go through what you're going through. And at the end of that brokenness, you're going to receive your breakthrough. Can I get an amen? Because no eye has seen, and no ear has heard, and no mind can ever conceive what God has prepared. And he has prepared something great. This is the kind of encounter Simon Peter experienced. A changed life. Because there was a realization that God is able to provide even more exceedingly abundantly in the midst of his discouragement, in the midst of his failure. And you will see that Peter fails again. At the end of Jesus' life, he fails again. But once again, we serve a God who's able to redeem those failures. And finally, Ms. Janelle, if you could come up. Finally, in verse 10, Jesus says to Simon, "Don't be afraid anymore. Do not fear. But from now on, you will be catching men." Some translations say, "You will be fishers of men." The reference is this, and Yvaine and I were talking about this yesterday. The reference is this, that you are a fisherman of fish, but God is going to change you to be a fisherman of men. In other words, you're going to do what you're going to do, but it's going to be different. And maybe the application for us is that you were once a teacher, but now you're going to be a teacher of a different kind. You're going to be a banker. You are a banker now, but now you're going to be a banker of a different kind. You're an engineer now, but you're going to be an engineer of a different kind. When God transforms our life, maybe what he's trying to tell you is that you are doing what you're doing now, but it's going to be of a different kind. It was once for yourself, but now it's for the kingdom. That you were once lost, and now you're found. Because God is able. God is God of more than you can ever imagine. So this morning, I want to encourage you that as you encounter our Lord Jesus Christ, that you may see and know who he is, what he can do, that he is the Lord. And maybe that he calls you to wherever you are to be a different type, a different kind of what you already are. Whatever you're doing, maybe you can be a different type. And he says to Peter, "Don't be afraid, because from now on, you're not going to be a fisherman of fish. You're going to be a fisher of men." May we be fishers of men. Let's bow our heads. Are you lacking faith this morning? Are you having trouble trusting in him? Are you discouraged? Are you seeing failure after failure? Jesus, as he's teaching the crowds, sees Simon's boat. And he decides, "I'm going to leave the crowd because I want to spend some time with Peter." And I feel the Lord maybe for us this morning saying, "You know, I'm going to leave the crowds and I want to visit you." Are you tired? You going to work again tomorrow? You going to work again today? I want to break the nets. I want to show you something. And don't be afraid today. May you today become fishers of men. Let's sing the song together and let's worship. Let's come before the Lord. And before we intercede for our community, let's just spend some time. And I know afterwards we're going to give you time to pray, but just to meditate upon this passage that we talked about. Just think about the Lord. Maybe you need to ask God for provision. Maybe you need to ask God to come close and come near. And so just ask Him to come close. Excited this morning to lift up our community, and so let's pray for those in our community that's feeling ill and sick, and with a greater faith that God is up to something. So let's pray for those, especially with cancer and some serious illnesses, and let's pray in faith that God is going to move powerfully in their lives. So the names are on the board, and so let's pray. Pray for those who are ill, but loved ones are seeking for their salvation. So let's lift them up, and let's lift up those with other infirmities. And so let's just take some time to just pray and intercede for them. Let's begin to intercede and pray for those needing employment, and God is working definitely in this area. And so let's continue to pray until there's a breakthrough. And let's ask God to truly provide daily bread for those out of work. Let's pray. Pray for our mission focus this morning, and let's pray for Nagoya, Japan, and Kenny, especially for him personally as he's going through transition in his life. Let's pray for Thailand, for Rachel, Ralph, and Juanita, and let's pray for North Korea, for the persecuted church, and let's pray for Chris Kim and his family. And so let's lift up these countries today. Let's pray for SP Ministries. Let's pray for Noah's Ark. And just let's remember how important our children are. Let's pray for Pastor Carol and the teachers and the volunteers there. Let's lift up the nursery and how precious the children are and our youth group and for men's and women's ministry. And so let's just begin to lift them up to the Lord right now. Let's pray for our house churches that are meeting today, Conduit and PPHV. And so let's ask the Lord to really build a community that truly loves one another, and that people would see that Jesus is alive through these communities. And so let's lift up our house church and our house church leaders. Father, we thank you for this new morning. And God, as we go to work and as we do our business, God, we pray that we would be all about the Father's business. And Lord, we pray that there be a change this morning, that whatever we do, that we would do it with a new sense of purpose and a new calling in our lives. And God, we just thank you that you are the God that provides exceedingly and abundantly beyond we can ever imagine or ask. Lord, we pray that the Word of God would fill our hearts, God. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.